Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
All right, here we go. Are you set? I'm set. I'm feeling good. Yeah, let's just do this thing. Reggie, thumbs up in the booth? Yeah, all right. Levels look good. I'm ready. Put it in the books. 155. 155. Ready to go. All right. Let me do my three S's. Star, smile, and strong. All right. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure. It is a veritable binge-worthy buffet. Of fun, silliness, and information. Thank you for scrolling, downloading, clicking, whatever it is, or whatever you do to find us on a regular basis. Your loyalty is much appreciated. If you like what you hear, maybe you're a newcomer. You can go back and hear all the previous episodes. Just go to WGNplus.com, go to the entertainment section, hit the Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic prompt, and you will find all 154 previous episodes, which can only mean one thing. Fill in the blank. No, it means that this is episode 155. And welcome to episode 155, eh? Oh, jeez. Don't be a hoser. Just listen, will you? So, good day. And welcome to episode 155 of the podcast. I have a feeling that Bob and Doug McKenzie would be doing podcasts today rather than cable access TV shows. I bet you that that Bob and Doug would be doing a podcast, eh? The Great White North podcast, don't you? I do. Oh, jeez. What a hoser. Hopefully, there's like five people that get that reference. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. I am your humble and lovable host, Jim Toronto. Elton Jim, as I have been dubbed, as I am getting excited, and I will talk about this in the next couple of weeks, but I'm getting very excited. They are ramping up the media machine for the upcoming Elton John biopic, Rocket Man. And please, boy, does this drive me crazy. So a biopic, right, is slang, shorthand for a biography picture, right, or a biography movie. Now, when you write it, it should be bio, B-I-O hyphen pic. Right? Biopic. But in today's horribly unregulated internet, where any kind of grammar or rules of grammar, they're out the window. It's clear that many people were not paying attention during English class in school if they went. If you read some people's blogs or if you read some people's postings online, you can see they're not using the right tenses. They're not using the right forms of words. They'll say their, T-H-E-R-E, when they are trying to say something about somebody's possessive, which is clearly the T-H-I or E-I-R. Yeah, it's for someone who is a writer and for many years was an editor So it was my job to make sure that all those little nitpicky things and where does the comma go and where does the semicolon go and what is the correct tense of the word and the plurals and all that stuff. That was part of my job. And my gosh, now when I see what's passing for grammar, even on official websites of magazines or newspapers, and they're so poorly written. Unbelievable. And so this biopic thing is driving me crazy because it's a big thing now, the biopic, especially in the last year with the success of Bohemian Rhapsody. You're seeing that term being used very often now, biopic. It's been used in the past many times, and it's correctly used with the hyphen, to hyphenate the word as opposed to writing biography picture. It's a biopic, and you put a hyphen between bio and pic. It's two words that don't go together, but the hyphen connects them. That's the job of the hyphen. The hyphen has no other job, but it's an important job. It's like conjunction, junction. You know, what's your function? Hooking up words and making them function. Well, that's what the hyphen is for, too. The hyphen is there to connect two words that necessarily would not go together. And that's why you put the hyphen in. Okay? I mean, I learned that when I was a little kid. You know, 40 years ago. Well, what's happening? Why don't we know what a hyphen is? So this biopic term is getting now regular use, you know, in many stories, because with the success of Bohemian Rhapsody, now, of course, Hollywood, whenever Hollywood sees something that's successful, then everybody just goes out and makes more of them. So in the next several years, because of the popularity and the success, worldwide success, and Oscar wins by Bohemian Rhapsody, the story about Freddie Mercury and Queen, you're going to see a lot more biopics. Now, I am most interested in the biopic, which will be released officially later this month on May 31st, called Rocket Man, which is the story of Elton John and his rise to fame. This film was put in production last summer before Bohemian Rhapsody was even released. So a very good stroke of marketing luck for Rocket Man, because now there is so much buzz about, you know, the success of Bohemian Rhapsody. And now people are interested in seeing these stories of famous people and especially famous rock stars. So Elton's, which was already in production and even done before in terms of filming, was done before Bohemian Rhapsody came out. The timing for this is perfect, and it's being released right in the beginning of the very popular and competitive summer movie season, when, you know, especially over Labor Day and when people are beginning to get out of school and have time. So a lot of hype and buzz and a lot of anticipation for this Rocket Man film. So I, of course, cannot be more happier, since I've only been an Elton John fan for like 46 years. I was very young when I first started to get into Elton's music. But what's driving me crazy is, so now I'm reading more stories about new, or and I'll talk about the Rocket Man movie in more detail after it comes out. But this biopic thing is driving me crazy, because when people are now using the term, either when they're speaking or when they're writing it, they are not putting in the all-important hyphen, which is needed for this term. You just don't, I hate this nonchalance of, well, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. There are rules. Have we just gotten rid of rules because we, you know, whatever? I mean, that seems to be the big, you know, response now. If you point something out to somebody when they made a mistake, They won't own up to the, they won't say, oh, I made a mistake. They'll just say, well, whatever. That's no answer. No, learn the rule. There's some rules that we do have to go by. So anyway, the hyphen seems to is losing its prominence and its usage because people either don't care or don't know what it is. I don't know what's being taught in schools today, but I certainly learned about a hyphen, and it served me well in my life and career, knowing when and how to properly use a hyphen. But clearly, hyphen usage is on the downswing, America. And if I was running for president, forget about health care, forget about immigration. My main policy, my main issue would be grammar and the hyphen. I guarantee you I'd be the only presidential candidate with that platform. And by the way, platform does not have a hyphen. It's two words. It's one word put together, but no hyphen. No need for that. Perfect example. So, this biopic thing, you will see it. You will read it. You either have been reading it, you don't know it. But now that I'm pointing it out to you, I guarantee you, you'll go, whoa, that's what, oh, wow, I'm seeing this biopic term used quite a bit. Well, didn't Jim mention that? Yes, he did. It has to have a hyphen in it. When it doesn't have a hyphen in it, it becomes one word, right? So when people are reading it now out loud without the hyphen tells you it's two separate words that are connected. But when there's no hyphen there, you pronounce the word differently, phonetically, because now it's not two separate words connected, it's one word. And accents are in different places. So instead of biopic, which perfectly describes what it is, a biography picture in a shorter term, a biopic, when people are now lazily or ignorantly not putting the hyphen in and just writing it as one word, B-I-O-P-I-C, you say, Jim, what's the big deal? You know what I mean. Whatever. No. Because when it's printed and someone's reading it and they may not be familiar with the term, they see it as one word. So suddenly biopic becomes biopic, which doesn't mean anything. In fact, it sounds like some kind of a medical term. I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, but we did x-rays and it was biopic. Right? Doesn't that sound like something your doctor would say that you have? I'm sorry, we've done the biopic and the news is not good. Wow, that is one of the most biopic types of medical issues I've ever heard of. Or it may be an adjective. Don't be so biopic. There's no meaning to biopic. But when there's no hyphen there, it's not biopic because you now say the O in the short form. In the short form. And I'm just wondering now, do people even know what short and long in terms of pronunciation means? Do we know that? That the O sound in pronunciation, the long O sound is the O, and the short O sound is the ah, like in stop, go, the O is long, stop, the O is short. Are people learning that anymore? I bet you they're not. I learned that in second grade. That's why I'm able to pronounce words correctly, because I understand the rules of grammar. But once again, no one cares. Whatever. By the way, one word. No hyphen. If you're going to use it right. So now I'm hearing people say this, especially many airheaded anchor people on entertainment shows or even on news shows who are just reading copy as it scrolls along on their teleprompter. Half the time, they are not even comprehending what they're reading. They're just reading it as it comes. They didn't take the time to actually go over their copy, go over what they're going to read that day. And so for many of them, they stroll in and sit down in front of a camera, and yeah, they're able to read well, good for them. But they really, a lot of times, if you notice, many anchor people, you can tell, have no idea what they're really saying. And I guarantee you, most of them, when they're done with a newscast, don't even remember half the stories they read because they are not comprehending. They're just reading. Those are just words that are scrolling past them. And so if you don't put the hyphen in biopic, then it is correctly pronounced incorrectly. Whoa, wrap that around your head, right? It is correctly pronounced incorrectly. And that is correct. I just threw another one in there. Is your head spinning right now? Mine isn't. I know exactly what I'm saying. I understand why the person is saying biopic. That's correct if the hyphen isn't there, even though it's incorrect because the hyphen should be there. It's two words connected together. Biopic, not biopic. So in the coming months or years, as I said, you're going to hear a lot more biopics being made, and you'll hear that term, and you'll see it written. When you see it written, look for the hyphen. When you hear it pronounced, hopefully, you will hear it pronounced correctly. Biopic, a biography picture, a biography film, a film about somebody. A biopic. It's not a biopic. It's not the leading biopic at the movie theaters today. The box office leader is Bohemian Rhapsody, the biopic of Freddie Mercury. No, it's not a biopic of Freddie Mercury. It's a biopic. You see? And you wonder why I'm so crazed. It's these things that drive me crazy, but they're wrong, and we're not, and no one's pointing this out, and no one cares. Am I the last person that cares? Come on, folks. We're better than this. You can't just do what you feel like doing all the time. Aren't there some rules that you can adhere to? Or does everything just have to be what you want it to be? Oh. So that's my lesson for today. That's my rant for today. That's my rant for episode 155. Oh, geez, what a hoser. Welcome to episode 155. Good day, eh? Biopic. That's how you pronounce it. B-I-O hyphen P-I-C is how you correctly spell it. It's not one word. Use the hyphen. So, I had an interesting thing happen to me a couple of weeks ago over the, actually on Easter Sunday. So a few weeks ago, last month. And it was very interesting, and it was very, it made my day. And I thought I would, point it out and tell you about it. And it really, it's going to be for me an Easter memory now. And this was delivered to me by a complete stranger. And it was very spontaneous, and it was just a spur-of-the-moment thing, and it was a chance meeting, and I just came away with such a great inner feeling, and here it is, you know, two or three weeks later, and I'm still thinking about it, and I know that I will continue to think about it for a long, long time, if not forever. If you've listened to me with any kind of regularity, you know that many people do not go to cemeteries. They either don't like the whole idea of it or whatever it is. I like cemeteries. As a young child, my parents took me to the cemetery because both of my, my father's parents both passed away before I was born, so I never knew them. And I knew my maternal grandmother, but she passed away when I was about four. And my maternal grandfather passed away 7 or 8 years before I was born. So I didn't really have a sense of my grandparents. And even though I have some very distinct memories of my grandmother on my mom's side, you know, I was four. So they're like little flashes, you know, those kind of memories. I don't have any extended. I kind of remember her voice, and I do remember visiting her and spending time with her, and I remember staying over at their house and things like that, but I was still very young. I'm grateful I have those memories. So from a young age, I would, you know, and like I said, even though my grandmother, I did know her, then she passed away when I was relatively young. So certainly on holidays and even sometimes not on holidays, my parents would take me and we would with them, and we would go to visit the cemetery. And my grandparents were my two sets of grandparents were not at the same cemetery. They weren't even close, really. But we would make a little pilgrimage on the weekend sometimes to one of them. Then maybe a couple weeks later we'd go to another one. As I said, on the holidays, we would try to go to both. So from a young age, I was used to going to the cemetery. Some people think it's morbid or sometime. I was very comfortable there at the cemetery. And for me, it was a nice, you know, I mean, I understand. It's just a gravestone. And my father's parents are in a mausoleum. So yeah, it's just this crypt with their names on it. But for me, that was kind of my relationship. I mean, I saw pictures of them. But my parents wanted to pay tribute to their parents. And for me, it was a chance to at least remember or at least see these people. I couldn't remember them, but at least have some connection with them. And in retrospect, I think back, and it was really, at the time, I didn't really think much of it. But now, as I've obviously gotten older and both of my parents have passed away, I really respect the fact that both my mom and dad really wanted to go and pay their respects, and whatever kind of connection and communication or peace of mind or whatever it is that drives us to go to a cemetery and visit, in quotes, our departed loved ones, whatever that dynamic is, and I don't even know what it is, it's nice to know that my parents had that for their parents. They clearly miss them. They clearly love them. And they wanted to pay respect to them. And they wanted me to at least be aware of them. As I said, there were pictures, but you know, we made a concerted effort to go to visit them. And so that immediately put, you know, importance on it. And I'm happy to say that, I'm sorry if I choke up a little on this discussion, but I'm happy to say that they did pass that on to me. And so now that my parents have passed away, I pay that same respect to them that they paid to their parents. And I do it willingly. I don't look at it as any kind of an obligation. My dad now this year will have been gone 14 years, and my mom will have been gone 13 years. And I would have to say, and I'm not exaggerating, I there may have been one or two months, but I don't even think there have been that. Since they've passed away, I have gone to visit them at the cemetery every month since they've passed away. And I continue to do that. Now, if there's a special occasion, like a holiday or a birthday or an anniversary in a certain month, then, if, you know, that counts. And there's about 4 months out of the year where there are no special events, meaning their birthday or their anniversary. I go and visit my parents on my birthday. And as I've said in the past, I always think that our birthdays are more of a celebration for our parents than they are for us. Our birthday was the most important day, hopefully, in our parents' lives. We didn't even know what happened. We don't remember that day. But our parents certainly do, or they certainly did. That was a huge life-altering day for them and a moment in their lives. So I actually think that birthdays should not be celebrated for the person being born. I didn't do anything. I think the parents should be celebrated for that. So I actually visit my parents on my birthday as well as on their birthday and their anniversary and on holidays. So, but when there is not any special month or date, I will make a trip sometimes during that month when there isn't anything just to visit them. I don't stay there for 2 hours and I'm not sitting there talking to them. It's not some big thing, but it's, to me, it is a connection. It's keeping that spirit and that memory alive, and it is, in many ways, my own small tribute to them. To take the time, thankfully, the cemetery where they're buried in is, and they're also in a mausoleum, an outdoor mausoleum. It's not far from my home, 15 or 20 minutes. So in my view, once a month, I think I can find 15 or 20 minutes and maybe a half hour, 40 minutes there and back, you know. I think I can find 40 minutes out of my month to pay my respects. I don't want to get into religious things, but I don't believe they know I'm doing it. But I know I'm doing it, and I'm doing it out of respect and love for them. And I do get something out of it. I'm always thinking about them, and I'm always, referencing them as a way to keep their memory alive. Because as the years go by, it's easy for you to forget people you don't see on a regular basis. And so that's why I don't want to forget them. And so this is my way of making sure that in the hustle and bustle of everyday life, I still put aside an hour out of my month. I don't think that's too much to pay respects to people that, you know, I love very much and I miss very much. So I go there on a monthly basis. And I don't know if you've seen on a lot of gravestones now. And as I said, my mom and dad are in a... on an outdoor mausoleum, and at the cemetery that they're at, it's a Catholic cemetery. And about 3 or 4 years ago, they started a new thing, which I thought was very nice, and I immediately did it for their crypt. Is that you could put a photo of the person or people on the crypt. On the face of either the gravestone or, in this case, the crypt stone with their names on it. And you have to go through them, and they're it's all uniform. You give them a photo. Excuse me. You give them a photo, and they copy it, and they prepare it, and they put it in the frame. And the frame is all the same on all the crypts, so there's a nice uniformity of that in terms of the look. But that also helps when I go to visit them. I mean, there they are. They're not just a name or a plate. And you go to, you know, to a grave site so often, you just see the name and their dates, and it's a little less personal. But I mean, I've got pictures of my mom and dad all around my house. But when I go to visit them at the cemetery, there they are. And I had a picture of them when they were older put on there. A lot of times people put pictures of the their deceased. I've just noticed a lot of people are doing this now on the crypts in that cemetery. And a lot of times they'll put pictures of when they're younger, you know, at their prime, which is great. I understand that. And I've got pictures of my parents when they were very young around my house. But I thought, when I go to visit them, this is the way I remembered them most. I never saw them. Whoops. I never saw them when they were in their 20s and 30s. This is what I saw them. So I put a picture of them when I was older, because that is my memory of them. And so that also helps in that connection when I go to visit them. And as I said, I don't make a big deal about it. If it's a holiday, I will bring a card for that holiday, and I will sign it, and I will put Mom and Dad on there. I will, you know, put a salutation on there, and I'll put Love, Jim, and put it on there. Or if it's a holiday, you know, or just a remembrance or something, I'll bring a rose or a flower. But a lot of times I do bring cards. You know, if it's Easter or Valentine's Day or birthday or Christmas, Thanksgiving, I'll bring a card and I'll tape it. And many times the cemetery, I don't know, sometimes in the winter, those cards do stay up there, because I don't think they take them off very often. But in the spring, in the summer, when the workers are out there cutting the grass and keeping the things a lot more neat in terms of the grass and stuff like that. I don't know, a lot of people don't come in the winter, but more people, obviously, because of the weather, will come in the summer. So they're tighter on those restrictions. So I don't know when they take the card off, but I at least know when I go there, I put the card up there, and it's my way of, once again, giving them a little gift. And once again, just keeping that kind of connection and some kind of relationship with them alive as much as you can. And as I said, I'm not out there bragging about this. I don't make a big production. I go, oh geez, I haven't gone to the cemetery, so I'm going to go today. Or sometimes I'll be driving around, I'll be in that vicinity, and I'm like, okay, let me stop here now while I'm close. So sometimes it's well planned out, sometimes it's spur of the moment. But as I said, I do go at least once a month. And I have been doing that for now almost 15 years since my dad passed away. And then there's, what did I say, 14 years? I'm sorry. Yeah, 14 years this year. In July, my dad passed away in 2005. So, you know, this is something that I do. As I said, I don't make a big deal about it, and it's not a big production. I just go, and I have my card, and I tape it on there, and I sort of stand and just kind of look and, you know, have this connection and go. I don't spend hours there, you know. I'm not talking to the stone or the crypt marker, whatever you want to call it. So I go there on Easter this year, and I go there in the, you know, early, late morning or so. And, you know, it's funny, for someone who goes to cemeteries on a regular basis like I do, it's funny how you see the traffic patterns in the cemeteries. And just like it is for church, it is for cemeteries. You know, you go there on a Tuesday afternoon, some random Tuesday, and you've got the whole cemetery to yourself. You go there on a Saturday, there's a little more action. And if you go there on a holiday, you can't find a parking spot, right? Sort of like, you know, at the holidays, people suddenly find, especially it's a religious holiday, Christmas or Easter, that's then you can't get a seat at church. But if you go on, you know, August 12th, some random Sunday or Saturday, I'm sure you can find a seat very easily. You could probably shoot a cannon in the church and not hit anybody. So that's the way it is with cemeteries. And once again, everybody has their own feelings on it, and I am not judging anyone at all. This is what I want to do. This is what I do. And I assumed, and here's the kicker of the story. So I don't go out of my way to talk about it all that much. I don't, as I said, I don't make a grand production out of it. I do it as out of, you know, an act of love and respect. And I do come away with something from it. Even for a few minutes, even for a few moments. You know, as I said, I feel like I'm paying my respects, and I'm taking a little effort to show that to them. And I think that's the least I can do for what they did for me. So I go there on Easter, and here in Chicago it was a very beautiful day on Easter Sunday. Sun was out. It was warm in the 70s or so. So it was a perfect, you know, holiday spring day. And so when I went to visit my parents, as I said, it's a big outdoor mausoleum, kind of in a cul-de-sac around, and they're right on the outer rim of it, overlooking a nice pond, and there's a big statue in the middle of it. And so usually when I go, there's no one there, you know, so I can go up there and put my card up there and have some time alone, and I'm not worried about other people being around. But when I went there on Easter, as I said, I had to go around twice until so somebody came out because all the parking was taken up. Once again, it's a holiday. And when I did park, as I walked to their crypt in this outdoor mausoleum, there was a group of people near my parents' crypt, and they were paying the respects to their loved one. And so I was a little hesitant because, you know, when I saw them there, it's like, you know, what do you do? I mean, I'm standing right next to, I would be standing right next to them. But I'm like, well, I'm in a hurry, though. I couldn't just keep waiting. I had other places to go that day. So I just, you know, okay, it might be a little uncomfortable to be standing right there next to these people while I'm kind of doing my thing, but what am I going to do? Well, as I got closer to them, I noticed that they brought, I had an Easter card that I was going to put on my mom and dad's crypt. And I noticed that this family, and there was a young, probably a guy in his 40s, and it looked like maybe his mom and maybe his wife and kids. So I don't know if he was there to you know, either visit his father or maybe his grandparents. I'm not sure. But I noticed that they had flowers that they were taping, like, you know, on the crypt. At this cemetery, they also have a little bench with a little holder where you can put a vase or a flower holder, because they really don't want you to put things on the crypt, but people do. And I do. It just, you know, when I drive away, I'm able to see, or sometimes when I pull up, I look for the flower or the card that I put on, and I could see it from a distance. I know where it is, and it's just kind of nice that there's a very outward remembrance on their stone. And even if the workers there take it away the next day, you know, okay, I'm not there, so I'm not seeing it being taken away. And sometimes it is there for a month or so. But I did see that they were putting stuff. So I said, well, at least in my mind, I was like, well, I won't be too embarrassed then for me to go and put the card up there and tape it on, because they're doing the same thing, right? So, because that was, I was a little worried about that. People, you know, sometimes you never know. People might say, you know, you're not supposed to put that card on there. That's why you have this, you know, little holder here. Or, you know, that's against the rule. You know, you never know how people are. Some people are sticklers, some people aren't. And so when I saw that they had flowers and that they were taping them on, at least I felt a little more at ease that I wasn't going to get any kind of pushback for taping my card onto my parents. And their loved one was only about three or four crypts away from my parents. So like I said, we were pretty much in the same little area here, and there was four of them, so they were taking up, you know, some room. And so I went and I put my, taped my card onto the crypt, and I was just sort of standing there, you know, just, you know, thinking about my parents and looking at their picture and, you know, just taking a few moments. And so the gentleman was to my left, and he, while I was standing there, he said, Happy Easter. And I thought that was very nice. You know, I sometimes, you know, as much as I am an extrovert in many ways, I'm also an introvert in many ways. And there are times when I am in front of a crowd, I have no problems. But when it's one-on-one, a lot of times I shy away from those. And a lot of times that's the way, you know, performers or extroverts are. Everybody thinks, oh, you know, you're, but many times we are very comfortable in big groups, but we sort of shy away from one-on-ones a lot. And I don't do that all the time, but there are times when I do that. I won't talk to my mom. Oh, my mom would talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I get into an elevator, I don't make eye contact with people. I don't make small talk. I put my head down, or like everyone else, I stare at the numbers as they pass, and as soon as the door opens, I always go to the back of the elevator. I will always let the other person go first, and I will leave last. But he said, Happy Easter. So I thought that was very nice, and I said, oh, thank you. Happy Easter to you. Nice to see your family here. And we were talking about, you know, the flowers and everything, and what the, you know, we got into a little small talk about the flowers and everything, and you know, what the cemetery allows. And they also had a picture of their loved one, I believe, on their crypt, if I know the one that they were standing in front of. So we talked about that. I said I see you've got the picture. I said, yeah, I've got the picture too, and I really like it, and, you know, blah blah blah. So we talked about that. And just as I was about to leave, the gentleman said to me, I just want to tell you, I really like the cards that you put on your parents' stone. And I was blown away. I didn't even know. I said, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. But inside, I was like, holy cow. This guy obviously knew my parents' crypt. Doesn't know who they are, but obviously he visits the cemetery with some regularity, because he has come enough times to see that I put cards or flowers on my mom and dad's crypt. As I said, I will put, you know, birthday cards, Christmas cards, anniversary cards, Valentine's cards, whatever it is, whatever, if there's a certain holiday. So maybe he goes there just on holidays, and when he goes there, because it's the same holiday, right, the same day, he sees the card on there. But I was in shock, But I was also very touched in that I thought that I was doing this little, you know, this little pilgrimage, you know, for myself. And I didn't really think of anyone else even noticing, even if there was a card on there. You know, most people go to their loved one's crypt or gravestone and they pay attention to that. Now, as I said, my mom and dad are in this outdoor one, and so it's a big wall. So it's hard not to notice the other crypts. They're all right, you know, next to one another. And, you know, the names are there. And as I said, now there's pictures sprinkled around. So it's easier, certainly, to see all the different crypts at one time on this wall that's facing you than it is to look at the ground and look down and look at gravestones, many of them which are still in the ground, although more people are buying the above ground ones now. But I was shocked but yet really touched and complimented. And I said, well, thank you very much. I didn't know anyone noticed, and I certainly wasn't expecting anyone to notice, but I'm glad you did, and I thank you for saying that, because here is a guy that just through his own, you know, visits, suddenly his attention went to my mom and dad's because he saw the card, and I'm sure he may have read the cards, and I would underline different passages. When I go there, I buy the cards as if my mom and dad are still around. And this is a card that I would give them if they were individually for their birthday or, you know, for a holiday or anniversary. So I don't look at it like it's not a sympathy card. If it's a Christmas card, I buy them a Christmas card that says, Merry Christmas, Mom and Dad. It's very much in the present. As I said, I am trying whatever I can to keep their spirit in their memory alive with me. So I was just so shocked and so touched, though, that this guy would not only have noticed that to the point that he clearly knew whose stone it was. When he saw me go up there, and I've never seen this guy before, but when he saw me go up there and put the card up there, he probably said, well, there's the guy who puts those cards up. Because up until that point, all he saw was the card on my parents' crypt. And now suddenly, you know, he got to see the action shot. He actually saw, he got to see me actually do it. Lucky him. I should have sold tickets, right? But the fact that he not only noticed the cards on his own in the past, and obviously read them, because he said, I really like the cards you put up. So it sounds like it's not just that he saw that there was some kind of a card put up there as some kind of a recognition of a holiday, but to say, he didn't say, I noticed you put cards on there. He said, I like the cards you put up. So clearly he must read the cards, which I never expected. When I put those cards up there, that was something in my mind, between me and my mom and dad. I never expected anyone else to read those cards. Now, I do, when I tape them up so the card is open. They could be read, but I never expected that people would come by and read the cards. But then, now that I think about it, why not? And so I was so, you know, touched, and I said, well, thank you. As I said, thank you very much. And my gosh, I walked away from there with a whole new perspective on this little act that I do on a regular basis. I always thought it was just between me and my mom and dad, right? And suddenly, one person, at least one, notices it and was moved by it in some way. And now I wonder, how many other people are. And really, for me, it's not about what I'm doing. Because I said, I mean, I'm just, you know, my name is on there, but you know, I just put Jim on there. They don't know who put it up there. But what I, the byproduct of it is for me, is that maybe these cards and the fact that they're there and people are coming to visit and they notice them, maybe they read them. What was most touching to me is that suddenly now people might be, you know, inadvertently and just, you know, drawn to my mom and dad's, you know, crypt to visit them. Oh, let's see what card is up there. And maybe in this small way, not only just the gesture of putting the card up there, but perhaps by the text that's in the card, somebody is looking at my sentiments that I'm sending to them, my parents, and saying, wow, that's a nice thing. And so I'm actually kind of happy that my relationship with my parents, which I thought was just between us at the cemetery, maybe some other people are looking at that and maybe getting some joy or like, wow, that's nice that their son does that. They must have been great parents for him to do that. And they were. And they are. So, you know, maybe in this small way, I'm able to even more pay tribute to my parents. Completely, as I said, without not aiming at it, but maybe other people are, you know, sort of celebrating our relationship and my real hope, and that's fine, and that's cool, I guess, in a way, but really what my real hope is that maybe they're looking at what I'm doing and saying, well, maybe I should do that. So if I'm having any kind of influence on someone else to maybe say, boy, you know, that guy, every time I come here, there's a card on there or there's a flower for, you know, maybe I should do that. And maybe and maybe they say in their minds, maybe I should, you know, try to do this little small act of respect and love for my loved one. And my gosh, if that's happening, I have no way of knowing it. But if that's happening, then I, once again, that's a tribute to my mom and dad. Because if they had not instilled in me the need to want to do that for them, then perhaps my act would not be influencing other people. As I said, I have no idea if it does or not. But I do know that at least one person noticed it and noticed it enough to even make a point of saying something to me. I mean, this guy could have in his head said, oh, there's the guy that puts the cards there. But he obviously thought it was important enough to want me to know that he noticed it. And I'm so thankful that he did. And so and now I know what his crypt is, where he was visiting. And now I'm going to look at his and pay respects to his loved ones. And so, you know, what this comes back to is the cemetery for many people. I know some people said, I have never visited my parents or my loved ones at a cemetery. Just don't like it. I was there for the funeral. Haven't been there since in 20 years. And once again, I don't judge anybody, but, you know, maybe if there's a way that, you know, the stigma or this doesn't need to be a depressing act. As I said, I've tried to make it a very present act, a very respectful and tribute to them. As I said, it's my way of saying thank you and showing my respect and love to take some time out from my day once a month. It was, you know, to just go there and spend 5 minutes. I don't think, in my mind, that's not a lot of effort. But they were very special to me, and they played a very important role in my life, and I love them, and I miss them, and I'm trying to, you know, as I said, keep their spirit alive. And so to me, the cemetery is not a sad place. Yeah, I mean, I'm not dancing around, and it does hit me, and I am sad that they're not here. But it's also not a depressing place for me. It's a chance for me to visit my mom and dad. I mean, as I said, I've got pictures everywhere, but that act of driving the car and going there does mimic the actions of going to visit them as if they were alive, and I would go to visit them at their house, you know, after I moved out and got married. So there is some parallels there. But I have to say, I was just so taken and so touched that this person had not only noticed the cards, but then obviously went the next step and read them and was somehow affected by it, to the point where he must now go to my parents and say, well, these must have been very special people, because this guy's coming. Every time I'm there, there's a card there. So in some ways, you know, maybe, you know, my mom and dad are I'm helping my mom and dad to, you know, reach out and touch other people in some weird way, at least their memory. So that was a really cool little moment there, and I will never forget that. I really, as you could hear in my voice, I know somebody whose parents just passed away, and, you know, it's never easy. And I don't care what anyone says, even if somebody has a long time illness and you think you're preparing yourself, if you have lost one parent or both, doesn't matter. You know that even in your mind, as their health is declining, you think that it's helping to prepare you for that moment. I'm telling you right now, if your parents have passed away, you know what I'm talking about. And if your parents haven't, first of all, please embrace them as much as you can. But I'll tell you, you are never prepared. So don't pretend you are, because you aren't. And when that moment comes, you will know it immediately. And you will say, I wasn't ready to let go. Even though in your mind you thought they were, when that reality hits you, you are never ready to say goodbye to them, if they were that important to you. And so when somebody's parent dies, I tell them, you know what? It should hurt. I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, you'll be fine. And no, you know what? You shouldn't be fine. If somebody passed away who was so important and vital and crucial to your life and you love them with all your heart, it should hurt. It should hurt bad. And what I always tell people, so I say, don't worry. It should hurt. You are hurting, and good for you. The fact that you are in pain, the fact that you are hurting, when that person passes, lets you know how much they meant to you. So don't run from the pain. Embrace it in some odd way, because it's telling you how much you love that person. It's telling you that you've lost something special in your life. So for me, the grief, the pain is almost a tribute And I say, and at the end of the day, do not forget and do not be afraid to cry. Once again, you should cry. You've lost somebody that is special and crucial to your life. Don't be afraid to cry. You heard me today. I'm not embarrassed. When I talk about my parents, I do tear up. I do get choked up. This is 13, 14 years later. And it feels like yesterday. And I don't ever really want to lose all that pain. And I willingly cry when I think of them. In my view, every time I cry a tear, that is a tribute to them. I don't run away from tears from my parents. I'm grateful that I could still have that kind of emotion almost 15 years later. It tells me how much they mean to me and how important they were and are to me. So if you lose a loved one, don't run away from the pain of that loss. Run toward it. It's a signal. It's telling you how much you really did care for and love that person, how important they were to your life. And don't be afraid to cry, not just when it happens, but don't be afraid to cry years and years later and continue to. As I said, I willingly shed tears for my parents, and I consider everyone a tribute to them. So I have to say that, you know, you know, this was a little deeper of a podcast than usual, but hopefully it helped you in some way. I'll never forget Easter 2019, and every time I go back to the cemetery now, I'll make sure that my card is there, and hopefully not only is this gentleman reading it, but maybe other people are too, and maybe it's influencing them to visit their loved ones a little more regularly and try to continue their relationship. So I don't know if that's helped you at all. It's helped me, I'll tell you that much. As I said, I love talking about my parents and remembering them. And so if I've been able to pass on any kinds of, you know, pearls of wisdom here, of experience and life lessons, I hope I have. But if there are some loved ones out there that have passed away, find your own way, but pay tribute to them. And if you're lucky enough to still have your parents or at least one parent around, oh, please, please. It sounds so cliched, but touch them and hug them every chance you get. What I wouldn't give to look, to be able to look one more time in my mom's eyes. Or to, you know, touch my dad's shoulder and give him a hug. No price. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure. This was episode 155. Thank you so much for scrolling or downloading or clicking on whatever it is that you do. Your loyalty is much appreciated. And don't forget, there'll be another episode right around the corner. But for this one, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Jim Toronto, and I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. This has been Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.